the prophecy, and we have some more questions. And I want to thank whoever you is in the chat room here for bringing these questions, because I think we do need to go through this. And we're talking, he brings up Revelation chapter 16, verse 2. Of course, we're speaking of the last of the series of the vile judgments. We had first the seals, then the trumpet judgments. And like I said, at the end of each series, the last of the series opens up into the next series. So I think that logically means that one follows the other, and that these three series of sevens fill up the era between what must shortly come to pass in 96 AD when the revelation was given to John, and fill up that era from then until Christ returns, until we call the consummation, when he returns, when the last trumpet sounds. Now, the last trumpet is not the trumpet judgments. It's a different trumpet, okay? It's not a judgment trumpet, but it's a trumpet that announces the return of Christ in the great day of God Almighty, the consummation, as we call it. And it's the consummation of the age that we are in. Yeah, let's not get mixed up. And so he says, even the image is mentioned. Yes, of course it is. Okay, but you know what's not mentioned there is an expiration date for the effects of this vial. The effects of this vial reach until the end, and even the era when the image shows up. Okay, the effects of this. But now we have to say, what is this noisome and grievous sore? What does that mean? What is that a symbol for? Because I believe it's symbolic for some kind of ill. A societal ill, a state of mind, is what's going on in society today. You see all this grievous evil going on. Could you say, spiritually speaking, that it is noisome and it's a grievous sore upon men which have the mark of the beast? Because these people definitely have the mark of the beast and they worship the image. Yeah. Because as I said before, they put the law of the beast and its image, that is the laws of the governments of men, above the law of God. And that is the mark of the beast. Okay? And they have these delusions going on in their mind. And it's, and they are grievous and noisome to the whole society. So I don't believe this has to be an actual like plague, like we saw in Egypt. But I believe that these are symptomatic of the ills of our society in these last days. So that's, you know, cause we're talking about, which had the mark of the beast. Well, the beast itself is a symbol. So we're talking about a symbolic prophecy, a prophecy of something which is symbolic in nature. So if we're talking about a beast and an image which are symbolic of the governments of men and things that are like the governments of men in the case of the image, which I believe the image is the United Nations, because it was created by the second beast at the end of World War II, when that second beast, or the seventh beast of the Revelation enumerated, rises to power. Okay. So I hope that answers your question there. And you can see, and I can prove this to you. Let's go down here to, let's say, the sixth vial. Okay. And the sixth vial poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay. Now we know the sixth vial was poured out. At least I believe it was poured out. So does E.B. Elliott and many other. I don't know if there's any historicist that doesn't believe it's been poured out. And it says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. See, and this is still, even though it's another verse, it's still following the sixth angel pouring out his vial, or the sixth vial. It says, for they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So we have here explicitly stated in the sixth vial that the effects of this vial reach to the great day of God Almighty, which is the return of Christ. But even though there is another vial to be poured out before that, the seventh vial must be poured out. Okay? So it's not like each vial has an expiration when the other vial pours out, but the effect of each vial being poured out during the vial's era, it's compounding the judgment and the evil that's coming on the earth with each vial. That's what I see. So that it reaches to when the image of the beast appears. And you could say that it's an image. Before the image was created, the image, if you want to look at it that way too, the image existed in the minds of men. It's kind of like I'm here in the state of California on the land. Now, the land is real. It's real land, and it designates an area on the earth that is real. My feet are on the land here, and that's where I live, on the land. But floating over the land in California is a fiction, an image. And the image is called the state of California. It's nowhere. It's not on the land. It's a concept in the minds of men. It's an image that exists only in the minds of men. But we've all agreed on this image as a form of government, or at least the people that constructed this image agreed on it as a form of government by which men come together corporately and rule. But the image takes on a life of its own. And it becomes like it is given life. And that's what the United Nations is. It's like a bigger image that is created, that governs the whole earth now. It's given authority over the whole world in the same way that the Roman Empire had authority over the ten-horned beast locality. You know, those 10 divisions that represented Western Europe, known as the Roman Empire of the Old World. And so, you could look at it that way too, or you could look at it that it reaches till that image appears. Either way, the image is, it pre-existed in the minds of men, but it comes to life because life is given to it by the earth beast. So the image comes to life when that construct is put forward by the earth beast. And so now we have it sitting over there in New York City, the United Nations, where the image has its capital, so to speak. But I believe the real capital of it is Washington, D.C. And we could start talking about Washington, D.C. Well, I've got an article on my website, and it's, if you go to my homepage at crosstheborder.org, you'll see it there, right in the middle at the top. It says, the empire of the city, the unholy trinity that rules the world. Okay, so I put a link there to the empire of the city, and that you can learn a little bit more about what I believe points to the what Washington, D.C. is, and how the world is ruled by the Antichrist. Because in Revelation 16:19, the same chapter, it says, and the great city was divided into three parts. A lot of people that they believe that there was a great earthquake. Okay. Now we know everyone knows from prophecy past, Old Testament, that when we're speaking of an earthquake, we're speaking of a political, upheaval in the, political heavens. When there's a great shaking in the world scene, we see nations topple. We see lines, borders being redrawn. We see kingdoms falling and kingdoms rising up, ruling authorities falling down to the ground and new ones coming up in their place. And that is what is expressed in chapter, Revelation 16 verse 19. So we can scroll down there And it says, and the seventh angel, and this is what I believe the seventh vial was poured out at the beginning of the 20th century. And the seventh angel poured his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. So what is done? The seventh vial, the final vial is poured out. That's what's done. It is done. This is the final vial. When this vial accomplishes its work, it is done, right? That's the way I look at it. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. So we've learned from history, we've learned from Old Testament prophecy, all of the judgment that God, these are judgment vials. So being judgment vials means there's going to be a political shakeup in the world like there never was before. And that points to the 40-year era encompassing World War I and World War II. And what came out of that? Redrawing of all of the lines of Western Europe. Yeah. So mighty an earthquake and so great, such as was never before. Yeah. And it says, and the great city was divided into three parts. Okay. What's the great city? Well, the great city in context of the Revelation would be the capital of anti-Christendom, which would be the Vatican at Rome. And if it was divided into three parts, a lot of people think that's the judgment, but I don't believe that's the judgment. I believe that that shows us that this great city was divided in three parts by which to rule because of the following statement, because of the statement that follows it. It says, and the cities of the nations fell. The cities of the nations fell because the great city was divided into three parts. Yes. And that's what we're experiencing now in America. Because America has fallen to Washington, D.C. The power has been taken from the people, and I believe is the lamb-like horn, and given to Washington, D.C., which is the dragon-speaking horn. And it's just, you know, this division between these two horn powers in America has become so expressed today that you cannot ignore it. The divide in America has become so great and so explicitly between that which is true and would like to conserve that truth and rule of law, and those that don't. They don't care about anything. They want to believe lies, and if you don't believe their lies, they want to punish you. And because they're in power, they are doing that. Okay? And so the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God. So with what we're having now, the seventh vial era which we're in, Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And that is coming. She's already been punished once. But what was the result of the punishment? They repented not of their murders and their idolatries and their image worship and all of these things. They repented not. Well, it says that in every island fled away and the mountains were not found when the judgment comes. Yeah. And there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, everyone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the hail, plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So what is all this symbolic for? I'm not going to go into. But I believe that in my article, I can't say perfectly because I'm just a man, but I think I adequately lay out to give everybody an idea what that earthquake and that division of the great city into three parts and the consequent falling of the nations to that power of the whore that is riding the beast. She exercised overt power, the Vatican did, for 1260 years. She was punished, received the deadly head wound. The deadly head wound received its healing during that same seventh vial era. In 1929, she received her sovereign status back and has been working very hard ever since to regain her sway and control over the whole earth. Everything is not going her way, but she may think it is, but, you know, we see what it says here, that God, yeah, that great Babylon came into remembrance. God's not forgotten her. He is going to remember her to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And we read later on, I believe a companion verse to this is that the ten horns turn on the whore and burn her with fire. I think we're talking about the same event here that is being expressed here is expressed again later when the ten horns. So it seems that the locality that is represented by the beast with the ten horns is going to turn on her and burn her with fire. And that's during the seventh vial era, because it's poured out in the seventh vial, which I believe began at the beginning of the 20th century, and the effects of it will be until Christ comes. Okay, so it covers an era, and all of the other vials before it are still in effect and working in the earth. Because the three frog spirits are out there croaking louder and louder, and they get louder and louder and louder until the cacophony that we're hearing now seems to drown out everything else in the world. And that's why you have all of these voices, and it just seems so overwhelming. But what does this tell you? That God's word is true, and that these vile judgments have all been poured out, and here we are at the very end, and we're just waiting for this one event, for her, the great city, which has been divided into three parts and rules the world by those divisions, and the cities of the nations have fell because of that. But God has not forgot, because great Babylon has come into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And that's what we see coming up. And I'm praying for that every day. At the same time, praying for the truth to win in America. The truth that we can keep that equilibrium. You know, those two horns of the American, the one lamb-like and the one dragon-like. That the dragon-like horn does not get larger or overpower the lamb-like horn. Going back to this. And the beast power, the apocalyptic beast powers, and the symbols, the horns being one of these symbols. How does God convey to us the meaning of the horns and what they can mean and what it means when they appear, especially looking back at the previous horns and what happened with them, so that we get an idea of what will happen with a beast that rises up with two horns that are equal in height, and those height never changes. One doesn't come up higher than the other. One isn't plucked out by the other, but they remain the same in the beast throughout its existence until it fades away, which it seems to be that America we see slowly fading from the world scene. Praise God! Yeah. We don't need to police the world. We've done it. We've fulfilled every criterion. So it's good for us if we fade back from the view of the world and we just take care of our own homework and pray for truth to conquer, and that we can keep, you know, not be overtaken by evil in America. So that's something that we can look at from the prophecy and say, yeah, in America, America is not overcome by the evil, but we hold our own against it with those two powers, you know, those two horn powers sticking up together, not one higher than the other, but equally existing, coexisting during its exposure on the world scene. And we, you know, America, as the two-horned earth beast, still has exposure on the world scene. And so the only thing I see is that it fades away. Yeah. There's no destruction announced upon it. There's no overtaking of it going totally and, you know, the lamb-like horn being plucked out and thrown away or anything. Nothing like that. So there's hope there. Yeah. For this nation, because I believe that America has a lot of God's people in it. Yeah. I'm not sure, and maybe more than other parts of the world. There are a lot of a lot of true Bible-believing Christians. I don't know how many, but I would say probably on a per capita basis, likely per capita more than anywhere else on earth. Yeah. Just saying. And it would seem that way if we have an equilibrium there, as depicted, America being that two-horned earth beast, one being one horn representing Lamb, because those are the only two attributes that are given to the Lamb, the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast, as one is Lamb-like and the other is dragon-speaking. And we know that Satan gets his ways in the governments of men, and that he becomes dominant in most of them throughout history, we have seen, so that he does not, that he, it would seem he is dominant because he speaks louder. He's the speaking part, while those that are lamb-like are quiet, and they fight back using the Spirit and the Word of God. But they don't shout people down. They're not like the cacophony of the frog spirits that come out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And the which false prophet is the Antichrist, because a false prophet cannot be anything other than the antithesis of the true prophet that Israel was waiting for, that was spoken of by their great lawgiver. And that would be Moses. He spoke of the prophet that was to come, that would be like him, but far exceeded him. And that is the Messiah. Jesus was the true prophet and is the true prophet. And so the false prophet is the Antichrist, the man of sin. He is the same, the one and the same. And the beast spirit out of the mouth of the beast is, of course, like I've said, those that put the laws of the government above the laws of God. They worship the beast, whether they get the mark of the beast or not. Yeah. Whether they get the final mark of the beast to buy or sell or not. If you still worship the beast or its image, to worship the image of the beast is to place the laws of that image, you know, to run out because the image said get a vaccine that, you know, because we said you must, and then you run out and you do it because you're obeying the image of the beast, which a lot of people, I believe, could have done mistakenly and could repent because of that. And I believe also that people can repent from taking the mark of the beast. But I believe if people think that they take the mark of the beast and they think they're going to repent later, I think it's unlikely they would ever come to that repentance at the same time. Anyway, here comes a break. I hope that answers a lot of questions, and if you have any more, please put them in the chat room or give me a call. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Come here every week on Wednesday morning, and we discuss current events, news, questions, comments, and Bible prophecy, and where we are, and perhaps what's even coming up. And I've written three books on my latest three books on prophecy. And they are The Beast Apocalyptic, which I believe everyone should have if you want a clear understanding about the prophecy. If you don't have, if you don't know what the beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation mean and are, then things can be quite confusing. And also I've written an exposition of the Revelation, in the view of Reformed premillennial historicism for the 21st century, so you can get that there too. And then we have the millennium question to close the series out. So there's three books. And I just put a link in the chat room for the Revelation Enigma Decoded, and that is those three books in one volume for a mere $26 plus shipping from Lulu Press. And it's the only place you can get this book. I haven't published it on Amazon. I may publish it later in Amazon as a hardcover edition. But like I said, you can get it for $26. It will help support the broadcast. Almost half of that will help support the broadcast. The rest of it, well, to tell you the truth, I think we get $12 a copy. And so the rest goes to printing and shipping and everybody else that gets their cut on publishing books, because I don't have a printing press here, so. But I have played these entire series on the Audible. And they are available on Audible. If you have an Audible account with Amazon, you can listen to them there. Cause I think you can listen to anything on Audible if you're subscribed to that. So it's there. But I played it here on the air several times, each series, or the whole series several times at least, and likely will play them all again if you keep listening. During the week, I'm finishing up a study this week in Jeremiah, Thursday and Friday. But Monday, I'm going to, begin my Audible version of the, volume 3 of the Hori Apocalypticae. Yeah. So I completed it last week. And so I'm going to start to play it over the air. It'll likely take 2 weeks to play because I just played on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so I have 2 hour like here in the same time slot on those days. I usually play Bible studies or pre-recorded broadcasts or whatever other series I decide to do during that time. So you should listen during the week and to get a lot of this information unpacked for yourself, and especially if you don't want to put out the money to buy the book, that Revelation Enigma Decoded Apocalypse Trilogy. Like I said, it has all three of these volumes in it, and likely, I don't know what else, it's more than most people need to understand the Revelation, but I think the opening and closing are important. The millennium question is big today because we're coming up close to that time when we will have a millennium or we won't have a millennium. Yeah. So, according to the amillennials, Jesus doesn't get a millennial reign of Christ to close out. Yeah. This creation, this 7,000 year creation, he doesn't get that. They're taking that away from him. Kind of in the same way that the dispensationalists ripped the 70th week away from Jesus, because, you know, he lived, because he appeared, it was 69 weeks unto Messiah, the Prince, and okay, he was the Prince, the Son of God, when he was born, but he didn't qualify for the Messiah position because the Messiah is a high priest. He's the highest priest, okay? But by the law, he had to be 30 years old. And Luke said, that recorded for us in the book of Luke is that Jesus began to be 30 years old. He was in his 30th year. He qualified. So that's when he appeared as the Messiah. The 69th week came to an end. And according to the historicists, 70 follows 69. So that means that the week that followed the 69th week was the 70th week. They didn't skip a week. Yeah. No, it didn't. They didn't go 69, 71. It goes 69 and 70. So Jesus was here. He appeared in the 70th week. That's right. And it was the final week decreed for the nation and the people and the city. Yeah. You can read that in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks prophecy. The final week was the Messiah's week. You can't take it away from him and give it to the Antichrist, who's not even mentioned in the text anywhere. Your name and where you're calling from? Well, okay. I think sometimes they don't like what I'm, this person doesn't like what I'm saying, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to figure out what someone's thinking when all they do is call you to interrupt you. But I was completing that thought, so. Anyway, back to it. What else do we got? Oh yeah. So anyway, the Revelation Enigma decoded. There it is. You can go to my website too at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. They both land in the same place. And you can see in the upper right-hand corner, it says 3-in-1 volume, no matter what page you're on, the Revelation Enigma decoded, and you can click on that, and it'll take you there where you can buy the book if you want. And it'll help support the broadcast. Plus, if you're interested in prophecy, you likely will have to read the whole thing. And you won't be able to put it down, hopefully, that I've done an adequate enough job to make that for you. And I have a gift for everyone that's listening now, another book I wrote back in 2017 and updated and retitled in 2020, I believe, and that is The Abraham Accord. I'm going to put a link to it in the chat room right now. It's a PDF version, so this is my gift to everybody who's listening right now. See, that's three times true motives of the phantom caller revealed via subtlety. Help me out there. I'm not sure what that means, Jesuit friends. Or Jesuit fiends. It looks like friends when you first look at it. Jesuit fiends. And yes, he's calling them Jesuit fiends, the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, because they are the top tier. They are the organizers of everything they allow you to see working in the world, because they don't want to be seen to working in the world. They learned their lesson from the time that the seat of the beast was, the vial was poured out on the seat of the beast, which we were talking about earlier. Yes, because the Vatican, the papacy, anti-Christendom was out there burning heretics. That is true Bible believers who had the audacity to put the Bible above the Pope. Yeah. And, people wouldn't, accede to transubstantiation and, purgatory and praying to saints and the mother of God, that false Mary. Yeah. Just like they have their false Christ, they have a false Mary. Yeah, so people wouldn't do that. They would burn them at the stake or, you know, commit genocide on them, whatever it took. Yeah, it didn't matter. But anyway, so there's a free gift for you. The Abraham Accord, Harbinger of the Temple Mount play about to begin. So kind of what you can expect when no one is raptured, because the rapture fantasy is counter-reformation eschatology made to turn Protestants into non-protesting evangelicals. Good job, by the way. Yeah. They did a really good job of that. They turned They turned Protestants into non-protesting evangelicals. Read all about it and read about it for free. And because this is a gift to you, you can send it to everyone in your mailing list or post it on your media. Let people read it. Let them make up their own minds. Now, a lot of these really diehard dispensationalists, they would like to burn this book, and they won't give it to anybody because they don't want people to see and make up their own mind. Because a lot of them, I think, know that there's something wrong, but because they're doing so well and so popular by the fallacy of the secret pre-tribulation rapture, that they don't want people to read something that might make them question it and give them enough information that they can, you know, overthrow it in their mind, using God's word, that is, because that's what we want, God's word. Okay, let's see. Okay, whoever you is in the chat room is, still not giving us a name there. Anyway, thank you for those questions, and if you have any more, you need any more clarity, please put it in the chat room so I can take care of that for you. But like I said, not this book, but the other one, the Revelation Enigma Decoded, all three volumes of that, or this one itself, The Beast Apocalyptic. If you don't get anything else, you can get this on Amazon or Lulu. So, if you read this, it'll straighten out, I think, all of those questions that you posted in the chat room, and do it from God's word, I believe, satisfactorily. At least that's the point, you know, that's the point, because I only want the truth. And if I found out that historicism was wrong, well, then I would become something else, whatever I found to be correct in place of it. Because I came out of the whole left behind thing, early to mid 70s. I read The Late Great Planet Earth, and, I was, taken aback by it, and, believed everything that it said, because, everyone around me believed it, and they were teaching it from the pulpit. And I thought, wow, this is what the Bible says. Because they showed me by conjecture how it appeared in the Bible. But I didn't realize that it was only conjecture, meaning it was only speculation. Yeah. And that I was believing a speculation as the truth. That's what I believed. But I figured that out later when God called me to start teaching out of His Word. Then I had to take it serious. It's kind of stupid. I didn't take it serious enough before. But I thought, okay, I believe all this. Now I have to show people, like I was shown, I thought, in the Bible. But when I went to find it in the Bible, I couldn't find it. It was there by conjecture, but there was not one explicit statement in the Bible to back up a secret pre-tribulation rapture, or even the great tribulation period of 7 years. There's nothing in the Bible to back that up either. That's another construct that's part of, I call it the 7-year tribulation deception. That all of the calamity from the seven seals that supposedly were to, you know, shortly come to pass or begin to commence immediately in 96 AD were reserved now, for a 7 or 3.5 year period yet to appear in the future. So that the Bible says nothing about anything from 96 AD until Jesus comes back in a secret rapture. Then the revelation starts. But how is that shortly come to pass? They read shortly come to pass and they think, well, shortly come to pass from when I read it. Oh, that makes sense. It's all about you. That's right. God didn't write the Bible for the people that lived at the turn of the century, 96 AD, second century. He didn't write it for them. He wrote it for you, because He knew you would appear in the 21st century. Ah, yeah. Forget all those people back then. It's not about them. Revelation has nothing to do with them. That's what they believe. How could you believe something else? You know, that's what they have to believe. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that I believed it, but I was, you know, following their narrative, and because I wasn't diving deep in the scripture. But like I said, when, you know, in 1995, 96, when God, you know, I felt God call to, you know, start, studying the Bible on the air, you know, it's kind of like jumping in the water, with both feet and beginning just to open up the book and read it and comment on it. That's what I was doing. And that's what the preachers used to do. They'd used to open the book, they'd read a little bit, and they'd comment on it. And the people be edified because you're reading on what the book actually says. So employing that, you know, method, the Bible teaching, I couldn't find a pre-tribulation rapture to save my life or to save, to save left behind and dispensationalism. I couldn't find a pre-tribulation rapture to save dispensationalism, to save my belief. So I had to throw it away and say, okay, well, I'm only going with what the Bible explicitly tells me. You know, somewhere it at least has to explicitly tell me something. But then I find, you know, it's like I have, I read a lot of articles from this guy here writing, from, Rev310.net, because Rev310 is one of their conjectured rapture scriptures, right? And so I read a lot of stuff even from the other camp to keep up on what are they telling their people today? If they're not telling them ever anything new, I mean, would they ever read a trilogy? Would they even open their mind enough to read a trilogy or even the Beast Apocalyptic? Because it would overthrow everything they're saying, because it would have to overthrow if they knew the truth about, you know, the meaning of the beast symbols and the related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation and how they're to be understood in the Revelation. Then they wouldn't know what to do with the Revelation. That's why I like the amillennials. They do nothing with the Revelation except deny it. They don't even want to accept historicism, because if you accept historicism, you're going to have to drop the amillennial thesis sooner or later, because that's another one that's made up out of whole cloth or only conjectured from the scripture, because it's a thesis that is not stated explicitly anywhere in the entire Bible. It only exists by conjecture and speculation. So I tell them, okay, well, you know, if it turns out it's a speculation, I'll give you that. Your thesis sounds pretty cool, you know. But if it comes to pass, then I'll admit to it. But until then, I can't find anything in the scripture that explicitly upholds it, so I can't go with it. Sorry. That's the way it works for me. I gotta have at least something explicit. Now, for an actual 1,000 years, I have 6 times in Revelation, chapter 20, where it is expressed 1,000 years. And then I have supporting in, where is it? 2 Peter chapter 3. I have support there. And then I'm able to harmonize the entire scripture with chapter 20, which is the final or last revelation. So according to progressive revelation, you know, that which comes later clarifies that which came earlier. It's not vice versa. Use the later to understand that which came earlier, because progressive revelation is progressive. It is not regressive. And that's what the amillennials have to believe, that chapter 20 of the revelation is not progressive, it's regressive. But there's nothing regressive about God's revelation, because every new book of the Bible, as it came out, may have contained prophecy fulfilled and expressed as fulfilled in it, which we see in much of the New Testament. We see the expression of much of the prophecy that was given in the Old Testament being expressed as fulfilled in the New Testament. So which one explains the other? Which one's progressive? It has to be progressive. You can't regress with more revelation. You can only progress. And that's one of the tenets of good hermeneutics is the progression of the revelation from God to us, that we learn more. And that which comes later clarifies that which came earlier. It is not vice versa, but that is what the amillennials try to do. They try to clarify the Old Testament by using the Old they try to clarify the revelation by that which came earlier. Yeah, it's a little backwards. What they should do, and they could do quite easily, because I know they're not idiots and stupid, but they could harmonize everything that they're using to tear down the millennium. They could take it and they could harmonize every verse instead to uphold the millennium, because that's what I do. Every verse they use to tear it down, I use instead to uphold it. And they could do that just as easily, because I find it quite easy and quite successful to do. And that's what I do in my book, The Millennium Question, which is part of the, that trilogy book, because the trilogy. Yeah. So these are the big questions today on, and I'm not popular at all. People don't like it. They want to escape because they have in their mind that all of these plagues are literal, because even if they're expressed as being symbolic of some evils in the world and not literal sores, okay? They want to believe that it's all the symbols until you get to chapter 20 of the Revelation, then the 1,000 years must be symbolic. Has to be. Everything else has to be literal. Yeah. Until you get to that one phrase, 1,000 years. And, I ironed that out so completely in the Millennium Question that I don't believe that there's any question I left unanswered in that book, or any objection is left unanswered. Though I do see on some of their sites the same tired old things being brought up over and over again, which might be a difficult for people who haven't studied it as deeply as I have, or haven't read my book, to cope with, or seem reasonable to people, but it's not. Yeah. It's still conjecture, and it's still only a thesis and speculation. That's the best that I can say about it. Anyway, we're coming up on the other end of the hour here. I don't see any more comments or questions, so hopefully I answered everyone adequately, any concerns. But all that information's there for you. Or just keep coming back to the broadcast. Like I said, starting Monday, I'll be doing the Audible. I'll be playing the Audible version of the Hori Apocalyptikae Volume 3. So that brings us really close to home and the era we're living in completely by the end of it. Yeah, and I'm beginning to work on Volume 4. Now I'm just rereading again before I jump back in and do the Audible on it. So have to read it first, then do it. Then you have to correct. Yeah, it's a lot of work, people. And yeah, I just count on the Lord to, through His people, provide for me and my family as we do this work and provide all these resources for you. So all glory and honor belongs to Him forever and ever. Amen.
Calvary, that's the place where Jesus bled and died, and it's there that sin has lost its power, at Calvary. Calvary, there my Jesus won the victory. gave himself for you and me on Calvary. Brother, give no thought for what tomorrow it may bring. Your Father, He knows your heart. He knows your every need. Just seek Him in His truth and rest upon His word. Share His love to everyone. Let's all just pray. Let the stars fall from the skies. Let the sun refuse to shine. In darkness, I know there will be a light for all mankind. It doesn't matter. And calls for you to come to Calvary. That's the place where Jesus bled and died. And it's there that sin has lost its power at Calvary. Calvary. That's the place where sin has lost its power at Calvary. Calvary. There my Jesus won the victory. There He gave Himself for you and me on Calvary.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News on the Hour, I'm Chad Groening. The House preparing for a potential vote on a key debt ceiling bill Wednesday. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson reports.
Clearing the Rules Committee was no small feat. It only passed by a single vote. And now onto the House floor tonight, where 435 lawmakers will be voting. It needs 218 to pass. Speaker McCarthy is very confident it will. Just a single Democrat and 30 Republicans say they are against the bill. The loudest voices coming from the Freedom Caucus, Nancy Mace as well, as we just heard, Carol Flea. At the White House, Karine Jean-Pierre says the president has been busy on the telephone.
The president has been engaging with members of Congress throughout this process.
The Congressional Budget Office says the bill will cut $1.5 trillion in spending over the next decade.
Many Republicans point out the U.S. has more than $31 trillion in debt. Fox News reports this morning that next Tuesday, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will officially announce that he is entering the 2024 presidential race. Christie is expected to make the announcement during an event in New Hampshire. Christie is a former close Trump ally who now calls the former president a coward and puppet of Putin. He's only polling at 1% among GOP voters. Violence against pro-life sidewalk counselors continues around the country. AFN's Charlie Butts reports.
In Baltimore, Maryland, three counselors were peacefully and prayerfully ministering to women heading into Planned Parenthood to terminate the life of their child. John Roswell was one of them, and he tells AFN one of the clinic escorts approached pro-lifer Dick Schaefer, hit him so hard he was knocked unconscious, and he suffered various injuries.
a facial fracture that would be, I guess, the upper part of the cheekbone. The bone structure around the orbit of the eye is completely fractured. At some point, they're going to have to put some metal plating in there, I believe. I'm sure he's going to have some definite reconstructive surgery.
He's lost sight in one eye, although that could be temporary. Another pro-life counselor, Mark Crosby, was also attacked.
He got bangs and scrapes, bump on his head from when he was knocked unconscious. The skin on the back of his hand is all scraped off and bandaged up. His shoulder was jolted badly. That probably took the brunt of the fall, which may have saved his head.
In spite of his injuries, he was back the next day ministering to women bent on an abortion at Planned Parenthood. Police arrived after the attack, viewed video from two security cameras, and left. There's no update on the investigation. It's all part of an uptick in violence directed at pro-life institutions and individuals nationwide. I'm Charlie Butts.
A skeptic of catastrophic man-made climate change is responding to comments from Jane Fonda. Here's AFN's Chris Woodward.
Speaking at an event in France, Fonda blamed climate change on patriarchy and racism, adding, "There would be no climate crisis if there was no racism, and there would be no climate crisis if there was no patriarchy." Mark Morano of Climate Depot has twice interviewed Fonda. He says this is par for the course.
This is the woman who said, first off, that COVID was God's gift to the left because it empowered the entire progressive agenda. But what Jane Fonda said here specifically about white men are responsible for climate change and we should arrest and jail them, this is not a outlier view by, what crazy Jane Fonda said. This is actually a mainstream view as identity politics has invaded the entire climate change movement and climate science.
Morano even points to newspaper articles from the 1840s as blaming white people for the climate in Australia.
So this is a old view, and when I say old, I mean centuries-old view. All Jane Fonda's doing is parroting the latest version of it. It's her way of saying Western civilization is evil. Western civilization has brought the world to a climate crisis, all while ignoring all available facts, data, information. You know, it's hard to even take this kind of stuff seriously, but you have to. It's been around for centuries.
I'm Chris Woodward.
And that is American Family News on the Hour. I'm Chad Groening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit Cross the Border. .org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world as far as the political heavens or the political hierarchy of the world and what we see going on today. And perhaps the rise of China has something to do with it. We've been talking about, there's a lot of talk about World War III. They get people out there rooting for World War III. It's like they're sure that that's going to happen. We're going to have a World War III. And I keep considering and comparing that with the scripture. And I believe, you know, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that we could have another greater shaking of the world scene than we had through the 40 years that encompassed World War I and World War II. Yeah. Let's see. I understand. Okay. Okay, well, I don't understand. Somebody put something in the chat room there. I don't understand the comment. He says, I understand. I have to figure out a way. Okay. Some context would be helpful there. But anyway, back to the seventh vial being poured out and how that affects us today. What does that mean? And I'm still pondering these things as I get to my scripture verses here. Now, we believe as historicists, this is pretty much accepted by all of your historicist expositors, that the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay? And we saw three unclean spirits. So this was, I believe, poured out during the aftermath of the French Revolution, okay, or during the effects of the French Revolution, but this sixth vial was poured out. But that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. But does that preparation mean that the kings of the east would immediately, okay? But we saw, and I believe that E.B. Eliot clearly identifies that the ways that the Euphrates, representing the Islamic powers that were a woe to Christendom for a millennium, at least to Western Christendom for a millennium, going all the way to North Africa and Spain in their conquests on several occasions, that was dried up then, and to make way for the kings of the East. But when would the kings of the East rise? That's the question. Not immediately, apparently, but this drying up of the Euphrates powers, we'll call them that, those Islamic Mohammedan powers that were such a woe to Christianity, were dried up during that period. And after that, to where they're almost completely dried up so that they're not a threat to anybody on the earth anywhere now. Okay? So I would say completely dried up. Now that they're completely dried up, the ways of the kings of the east is only being prepared. Okay? Doesn't say that they are going to come forth, but the way is prepared for them to rise up in the future, perhaps during or the era of the seventh vial, and that's what I believe. So we get to the era of the seventh vial. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Okay? Meaning the last vial is poured out. It's done. There are no more vials after this one. This is the final one. That's how I interpret the little clause there. It is done. Okay? So it is done, and here we are. We're in that era. And he records, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Now, if you're a prophecy buff, and you've looked at Old Testament prophecies, and you understand the apocalyptic meaning of the earthquake, okay, and that it refers to political machinations due to war or revolution and things like that. And it says, so mighty an earthquake. So we expect to see a political, we expect to see wars and death and revolutions and changes in the political heavens of the earth and the political hierarchy of the whole earth, so mighty and so great, such as was not since men were upon the earth. And would not the era encompassing World War I and World War II be adequately described as the political earthquake being so mighty and so great, such as was not since men were upon the earth? And I have to say, yeah, it fits. Finally, something that fits, you know. And so that is my my position that I'm taking, my my conclusion as a result of my study of prophecy and history, to get to that point. So this takes care of that. We now see that has, the seventh one has been fulfilled, is poured out. It is done. The seventh vial has been poured out into the air. Now, I still haven't come to the conclusion of the import of the vial being poured into the air, but I'm going to look further into that, because now I got to look at each vial and where and how it was poured out to try to get some conclusion as to exactly what the symbol of the vial being poured out into the air means. But I'm saying, as far as the great earthquake, so mighty and so great, such as was not meant since men were upon the earth, would describe that era encompassing World War I and World War II. I really believe one war with a pause in between, basically. Because the war comes from the same place both times. It originates in the same place both times. And the enemy, the primary enemy to those that are affected by that political earthquake, is the same enemy. So, really the same. And since it is the last vial. So now when they're speaking of World War III, I tend to think not so much, that there's not going to be anything mightier and greater, such as was not since men were upon the earth, as there was encompassing that era. I don't believe that there will be a World War III. Like I said, I could be wrong. Unless World War III is the one that happens, that is called Armageddon, and it happens after Jesus returns. That will be World War III. That's what I have to buy. Everything that I understand of scripture prophecy and how to interpret it, that's what I'm looking at happening. That there's not good. I mean, because you have, like, what's his name over there at True News, Rick Wiles. Yes, what a name, Wiles. Okay, but Rick Wiles and True News, he's pushing World War III every day, every time you go over there. He'll be talking about, we're in the middle, it's World War III. But is the whole world involved, really? I mean, it's NATO and Russia, okay, basically. But that's not really World War. World War is when Japan and everybody else joins in, okay, and China and South Africa, and the war is everywhere, you know. Then I believe it'll be a world war when you have different targets around the world, not just little Ukraine. That doesn't add up to World War III. Certainly there's a threat of a world war there, okay, that it could be the spark of a world war, but it is not a world war yet. And I don't believe it. Because I believe the powers that be, that are behind this, pulling the strings, I don't believe they want a world war, because I think it would destroy a lot of their plans if there were so much devastation as there was during World War II over the whole earth. Let's say we drop a few nukes on America and we got stuff going on between China, is affecting the whole area around it, even going to Australia. And it's chaos everywhere, and infrastructure is falling down and going in and out. This is the big threat of World War III. This is what people think of it, that's going to happen. But how will the Antichrist get his one world monetary system if he allows the infrastructure to fail all over the earth? Because the infrastructure to have you know, internet available so everyone can have digital money, they have to keep that working. It's okay if it doesn't work very well in the Ukraine right now, while they're just trying to scare the bejesus out of everybody and thinking, oh no, it's going to be World War III. I think it's just another fear tactic, another threat that they're proposing to the world because they want people to be in fear because they do want to roll out their 2030 mark of the beast monetary system by 2030. So I've been thinking about that, and China's starting to look like a good guy. Okay? So, and I had a thought the other day that somehow could they put up Xi Jinping as the Antichrist, and not a Christian Antichrist, but an atheist Antichrist. Because the world, I mean, when you get to false prophecy, who cares? It doesn't have to be quite right. It just has to look and sound right because it's false prophecy to begin with. So you don't necessarily need a Christian or a Jewish Antichrist. An atheist Antichrist would work just as well, wouldn't it? So could Xi Jinping and the nation of China be the savior nation of the world? Because America's not going to work because there's too many Christians in America. You know, that lamb-like horn power or division of America is just too prevalent and it doesn't seem to want to go away. As hard as they're trying to suppress it, it just keeps coming back up. You know, doesn't matter how many lies and delusions and fallacies they throw at it, as they're doing right now, and they continue to do, trying to vanquish it and smother it. It's not going away, according to the prophecy. Those two horns, the lamb-like, as opposed to the dragon speaking, remain steadfastly at the same height. One is not overpowered by the other or plucked out by the other. One does not rise up and dominate the other. It just has these two horns during the lifetime of this beast power. So that says a lot about what we can expect in the future, I believe. Okay? And if you're going, oh, this guy's nuts, he doesn't know what he's talking about, get my book, The Beast Apocalyptic. And the subtitle is An Exposition of the Apocalyptic Beast Powers and Related Symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. And if you read this book, you will never be able to unsee or unread what you have written. And it will definitely affect your view on prophecy and the book of Revelation, and especially as it pertains to Daniel and the symbols therein. When you clearly see them, you won't be able to unsee them. I'll put it that way. And for anyone who hears listening to this broadcast, however you're listening to it, whether it's a repeat or not, if you go to my webpage today at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, find my webpage there and go to the free ebook tab. Follow the instructions there and put in the comment line that you want The Beast Apocalyptic, and I will send you a free PDF of The Beast Apocalyptic so you can read it, and then you won't be able to unsee it. Like I said, it will change your mind about everything once you understand what that subtitle says about the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel the Revelation. Once you see it, once you understand it, it will change how you read and see the Revelation. And it, you know, or at least if you don't believe me, you at least want to get a copy so you can debunk me and do it publicly. You know, send comments on that page there, and we'll discuss it on the air. Even if you think you can want to debate me on it, I'll debate you on it. But I have a sneaking suspicion that once you read it, like I said, you won't be able to unread it or unsee it, and you won't be able to debate it either, because you will, if you're a lover of the truth, you'll have to admit that it is the truth. Okay? So there you go. One time today offer for people hearing this broadcast or listening to this podcast by whatever form, whenever, go to that ebook tab on my webpage at crosstheborder.org. That's the R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and click on the free ebook tab there, follow the instructions, and just put, I'd like a copy of The Beast Apocalyptic on the comment line there, and I will send you a PDF of it absolutely free. Imagine that. Okay, you don't even have to buy a book from me. There you go. All right, so back to it. China, Xi Jinping. Could he be? This started going through my mind in the last week, and the more I think about it, the more I think it's a possibility that Xi Jinping may be put up by the true Antichrist to be the faux Antichrist. That's F-A-U-X Antichrist. Because that's what all of the dispensationalists are waiting for. A phony Antichrist to be put up by the Counter-Reformation and true Antichrist for the Temple Mount play about to begin. And that's another book. You look up my book. You can also get that other book free there. It'll be displayed on the ebook tab if you go over there, and you can get one or the other at a time. And I ask people to leave a review at Amazon before they ask me for another book. So you can get, and you can get the Abraham Accord, or When the Third Temple is Built. The Abraham Accord is an update of that earlier book. And it speaks about the play that's about to begin on the Temple Mount. And if we get peace in the Mideast, so I see a lot of revolutionary type stuff and actions and people, and not revolutions, but, protests going on in the Mideast, especially in Israel right now. So there is a commotion going on there. So what will be the result of the peace process that has now begun in the Mideast by China between the people in the Mideast themselves? Could the Abraham Accord be the result of it? It is already going on in some of those Islamic nations that are making peace. They already have the Abraham Accord going on. So if it keeps spreading and it eventually includes Israel in the Mideast process, then they will get their Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount and the play will begin. Yeah. I'm not predicting that, but I'm saying this is the way it looks like it's going. You don't need to be a prognosticator or a prophet to see what's going on and to see a likely result, especially when it's getting, you know, so blatant and so obvious. So, and I've been looking for that for a while, for that, the Abraham Accord to move on to the Temple Mount. And if they do it now, in 2023, 2024, it'll be right in time for their 2030 agenda to have it completed. And so they can stand up, so the true Antichrist can stand up and say, see, the rapture was not a true prophecy. Yeah, all of you poor, deluded people. And then the true Antichrist will stand up and say, yeah, listen to me. Yeah. You will go to heaven when you die, right? Because they have to have the promise of going to heaven when you die. But Jesus is not coming back to this world without end, because that's what they believe, a world without end. The millennium, they are amillennials, but they're living in a world without end where Jesus never comes back, but they represent Jesus on earth. The Pope does. He's the vicar of Christ. So he usurps the place of Christ on earth. That's how they differ from Reformed amillennialists. Reformed amillennialists do believe that Christ is going to return, but it's going to be such a brief thing. He's going to return, destroy everybody, and take his people to the new heaven and new earth, just like the snap of a finger or something. Why even bother coming back? No, but I believe that the millennium is going to play out just as the scripture says. And I believe this because of history, because if anything, God loves good drama. And if you don't believe me, just think about the history. What happened? The pre-flood era, the great flood. I mean, that's a little dramatic, don't you think? And then, you know, raising up a nation of Israel, his own nation, national church, roving the earth, and he destroys them twice. No drama here, people. Nothing dramatic about that. And then he sends his own son to die for our sins. But he doesn't set up the kingdom then. He allows 2,000 more years where his people that he's redeemed are murdered, committed genocide against, martyred, and persecuted for 2,000 years. No drama there, people. No, we can't have a millennium. After all that, we get to the best era to come, the age to come, and the amillennials go, oh no, we can't have that. That's a little too much drama. Yeah, a little too much drama for the amillennial, reformed amillennials out there. But their amillennialism does differ from the amillennialism of the great apostasy and antichrist church. Yeah, so, well, I'll give them that much anyway. They're just going to be pleasantly surprised when Jesus comes back and stays for 1,000 years. Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's see. Hey, where's our Darkeja? He's not back this week. He must have forgot. Yeah, I enjoyed his comments last week. The internet's getting worse. Yeah, well, just pray for God's hand to be on your wife there, Stephen. May the Almighty lay his hand on Jerry there and hope that she is healed and feeling well quickly, that it's nothing serious. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. All right, well, that's the first half of this, prophecy reality edition here. And I have more to say about the seventh vial era, the era that we're in when we get back. So don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You listened Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and we're looking at the sixth and the seventh vials during this hour. And I was just looking at some of the underlying language here, Revelation 16:14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Now see that addition there, and of the whole world, is meaning that it's beyond, and everything that is happening now is not just in the locality, although that's the primary area of focus when we're speaking of the kings of the East. And and these vials and being these judgment vials being poured out. The focus is, but it does add in there, and of the whole world. So this is a worldwide phenomena, the effect of these spirits which are going into the whole world. It says to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And of course, we're there speaking about Armageddon. And I was wondering about this word here where it says working miracles. And I get this, the poieo, that for the word working, to ordain, to provide, to lay weight. So I was just wondering about there, whether these are actual miracles or not, or whether they're pretended miracles. And I would have to agree with E.B. Elliott. These are pretended miracles. These are not real miracles, but they're working these miracles, okay, or supposed miracles, because they have to work them. Okay, so they're not real miracles. The devil and his minions on the earth, they don't have power to do supernatural things. They may have power to feign supernatural things. And it's like the miracle of transubstantiation. That is one of the miracles of the false church. Okay? And one of the miracles of the Antichrist church. But it's a false miracle. It's not really happening. Okay? And that's why it's not accepted by true Bible believers. And many of the other their miracles are all false miracles. For they are the spirits of devils. Okay, so we have these three unclean spirits that were loosed in the sixth vial after we're given a notice that the Euphrates power that was a woe to Western Christendom, okay, was going to be dried up, that the way of the kings of the East might be prepared. So the way of the kings of the East that they've been prepared for, that hasn't materialized as of yet, as far as that power being a woe in place of the Euphrates powers. I'm agreeing here with E.B. Elliott and his determination of what these symbols mean and what these phrases encompassing these symbols also mean. Okay? And so we don't see that the kings of the East, there's no kings of the East that is a woe yet to the to those powers that were a woe, Western Christendom anyway. So even though it was stated here at the beginning of the sixth vial when it was poured out, that I believe the drying up part was the thing, and the ways of the kings of the East obviously will appear much later. Even as, also as part of the sixth vial being poured out, were these three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Of course, the dragon is Satan, that devil. And out of the mouth of the beast, and of course the beast is the governments, and specifically in this case would be the governments of Western Europe. And then it says out of the mouth of the false prophet, okay? And the false prophet has his influences worldwide, and even in America. He owns Washington, D.C. I believe it belongs to him. The false prophet being none other than the antithesis of the true prophet. So you have to ask the question, if you want to know who the false prophet is, who's the true prophet? Well, of course, Jesus was the true prophet. He was the long-awaited Messiah. That's who the true prophet was, that was spoken of by Moses, that he told the Israel that would appear. Okay? He said, a prophet like me is going to appear. And he prophesied certain things about this prophet that would appear. He would be the true prophet. You don't have to put true before prophet in that prophecy of Moses to know that he's speaking of a true prophet or the true prophet. But when the word false prophet comes up, we have to ask the question, who was the true prophet? So we would know that the false prophet would be the antithesis. So we recognize that the false prophet is none other than the man of sin and the Antichrist, that they are all one and the same, but three different names to identify one and the same personality. Okay? So we know what comes out of the mouth of the false prophet, and he speaks he's very vocal in the world today, the false prophet, with many of the things we were talking about in the prior hours, climate change, on, you know, all of the perversity that's going on in the world. He was all for the pharmakia, you know, the sorcery that was foisted on the whole world beginning in 2020 and 21 and 22 with the drugs, which is what pharmakia is. It's drugs, because pharmakia, or the sorcery spoken of the scripture. Now we can relate it directly to the prophecy after what we've seen coming out with the sorcery that was practiced on the whole world, not only practiced, but required to be practiced by everyone, in many of countries in the world, or many people who worked for, the government or corporations that are arms of the government. So a lot of people were forced to get this pharmakia injected into them. So we see how fitting that is. So we see these unclean spirits like frogs. That means they're very loquacious. They never shut up. And it's very fitting that the one horn of the two-horned earth beast, it says it speaks. It speaks like a dragon. Okay? Yeah, just like those spirits. And they never shut up. And they just get louder and louder as time goes on, until we hear this cacophony of evil spirits speaking today from everywhere, and they're drowning everything out. So it's very fitting that these spirits loosed with the sixth vial of the sixth angel when he poured out his vial are in operation even until the consummation, because that's what it says here, that they go forth unto the kings and unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Okay, not just the Roman earth, but the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That's the next war. That's the big one. That's going to be the World War III, but I don't believe that that's the war spoken of in the beginning of the seventh, when the seventh vial is poured out. But I believe it is the effect of what is the end of the era and the beginning of a new era to come when Christ returns. Your name and where you're calling from? Yes. We must interrupt the man who speaks prophecy truth, right? Is that what's going on here? You don't like what I'm saying? But hey, I'm just, you know, doing the best I can here. I want to be correct. I don't want to speak lies. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I'm just reading the word here and trying to call it like I see it and relate it to prophecy that's already been fulfilled in history, and using that prophecy fulfilled on symbols in history and recorded in the Bible for us, and some of it, use that to interpret that which is happening now. So we are in the seventh vial era, still feeling the effects of the sixth vial. So one thing you learn is that the effects of these vials carry on even into the next vial. That's what we learn by the words there at the end of the sixth vial, that says, "For they are the spirits of devils working, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." And then we have the seventh vial. And we're still waiting for the kings of the east. And I'm saying it's looking like China and perhaps Russia, because China but Russia both are geographically east of the locality of the ten horn sea beast area. So directly east, both of those nations. So they may together be the kings of the east. And if they do start a conflagration, perhaps the Antichrist will step in and work out, or somebody will step in and work out a peace deal. But it may be that there is at least a short-lived conflagration between the kings of the east and the ten-horned sea beast locality of Western Europe. So we may see something like that, some type of woe, because the way of the kings of the East is, it looks like it has been prepared, if I'm right, and it is Russia and China. Something could happen, but I don't believe that if it does happen, that it will be as great as the conflagration that we had with World War One and World War Two, because the scripture doesn't talk about, a second event of that type, but we'll see. Yeah, we shall see. I'll have to play that one by ear. I'm just hoping that if these Kings of the East thing coming in to Western Europe is a thing that looks like something like that might happen, then we have to look for a peacekeeper, either the Antichrist himself or someone he puts up to be a false Antichrist. And so there's a lot of ways these things, because you're mixing false prophecy, which is what the Antichrist has put up for counter-reformation effect, okay? And it has had an effect. It stopped people from protesting. It stopped Protestants from being protesters against the biblical and historical Antichrist and his great apostasy, to looking for an Antichrist in the future and a future great apostasy, rather than the biggest apostasy that has ever existed, and I say could ever exist, because it's over 2 billion strong. So is there really going to be a greater apostasy than that? So we have to, you have to work a little bit of common sense into there. And I guess anything's possible, but just because something is possible, because anything's possible, it's very unlikely that we're going to get a greater apostasy than the great apostasy that already exists. I think it's a greater likelihood that more people will join with the great apostasy and are, because the great apostasy is inviting people that don't even use the Bible, the other religions in, and they're fellowshipping together. They're accepting everybody in. And so I think it's just the great apostasy growing greater. They're even inviting atheists in, because I believe a lot of people in the great apostasy itself are atheists. Yeah. So if they put up an atheist, faux antichrist to bring peace on the earth, it seems like it would be a very fitting thing to fulfill the false prophecy. Because one thing about false prophecy, it does not have to be exact, because it wouldn't be false if it was. And that's how we know it's a false prophecy, because it's based only upon conjecture and hypothesis alone, and there is no explicit statement whatsoever supporting it in the scripture. They only can support it by conjecture. But hey, you can support gay marriage by conjecture. Yeah, believe me, there's a lot of churches out there today that are embracing the whole trans gay thing, and that's what they do. They conjecture away even that which is explicit. With false prophecy, you don't have to, well, I guess you kind of have to conjecture away what is explicit in any case with false prophecy, because that's what amillennialism and dispensationalism, and especially the pre-trib rapture, they all are based solely upon conjecture and hypothesis alone, and they have no explicit statement to support them in the scripture whatsoever. And they can't argue with that, because if they argue with it, they always just change the subject or go back to their old shticks to start beating you if you bring up something as uncomfortable as those simple truths. Yeah, believe me, I've talked and debated with plenty of them, so I know what they do. They fall back. And I just pray for them, their eyes to be opened. And hey, if they're Reformed Day millennials, most of them, I believe, are just deluded about that one thing, and many of them will be there in the resurrection when Christ returns, and we will meet them in the air when we meet Christ in the air. Yeah, and then we will have our, I believe, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place on the earth while the nations gather and prepare for the great day, the Battle of Armageddon. I believe that there is going to be a period where all of the saints who meet Christ in the air and return with him, because we want the whole world. Jesus wants the whole world to see us, and he wants the whole world to know who we are, and that his great army is made up of people that were living everywhere on the whole earth, who are caught up to join him on his return. And then we are going to meet wherever that designated place is, in the Mideast or in the Megiddo Valley or where, or Megiddo Mountains or wherever it is we're going to meet. We'll find out then exactly where it happens. And I believe we will have the marriage supper of the Lamb there, because we will meet and we will be with him forever from that point on. We will be totally, the ceremony will commence. And while we're doing that, of course, the world is going to be gathering together. All the nations, the Antichrist nations of the world, are going to be gathered together to fight the alien invasion that Jesus represents. That's right. That's what I believe is going on. And that's what I wrote about in my other book, The Millennium Question. That's what it's all about. Plus, it is what it says it is, an apology for the killism of the primitive church. So, let's see. What else can I say about it? But there's a lot to digest there, people.
Let's see. I wasn't informed. I think in a contact map that, I don't know what the Earth's seeking to help. All right. Okay. Well, I don't think that comment has anything to do with our discussion here on the air. Okay. So anyway, I have the last three books that I published, are The Beast Apocalyptic, An Exposition of the Revelation, and The Millennium Question. I have those in one volume, and they're available in a paperback from Lulu Press. And if you go to my website, which is here, as you can see it, and you'll see on the right-hand column, just below the top banner, you'll see it says 3-in-1 volume, The Revelation Enigma Decoded. And if you click on that, it'll take you to Lulu Press, where you can get a copy of that. It's $26.99, but it's all three books in one volume. It's called The Revelation Enigma Decoded, Apocalypse Trilogy, Book 1, The Beast Apocalyptic, Book 2, An Exposition of the Revelation, and Book 3, The Millennium Question. I think it's about how many pages is it? 457 pages. Okay. So it's all three books in one volume for $26.99. It's really all you need to get to where you need, to what's happening with the Book of Revelation and the Millennium, especially, if you're interested in that. So definitely a book you would like to get. But like I said, for today, I'm offering free. If you go to the free ebook tab in my website and request that, follow the directions there and request a copy of The Beast Apocalyptic, I'll send you a PDF of that. Absolutely free. Yeah. No purchase necessary. Okay. And also, during the week, and it's still this week, I have been playing my Audible version of Volume 3 of the Horae Apocalypticae, and it will play through next week, because it takes 2 weeks, on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Started playing, but it's still in the podcast, so if you go to our podcast page, it's available at our podcast player, and that podcast player is available at, you can also get that on your device, your Mobi device there at firstamendmentradio.net/Mobi. Press on the podcast button there. And, oh no, it's on the front page when you first go there. The podcast player is below that. And you'll see Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so the Monday and Tuesday are up already. And I will continue playing that on, Thursday and Friday. But then next Monday, it'll overwrite the first session, and because those are updated every week on the day that they are updated. So Mondays next week will replace this week's Monday. So you have all week to listen to it. If you want to listen to the whole third volume of the Horae Apocalypticae, it is there. for you. And that's our new 21st century edition, which is available at Amazon. Okay. And this just published, just got it up there on Amazon. And you can see volume 3 there. So I have both, all 3 volumes of the 21st century edition. Ahoy Apocalyptica Volume 3, an historicist commentary on the Revelation, updated and revised for the 21st century. And it's in paperback and hardback. I still haven't published Volume 4, but I will publish it for those. And there's nothing deleted, okay? I did move some of E.B. Eliot's chapters that were replaced. I moved them to the appendix, so they're still there if you want to peruse them. So nothing is deleted. It's just been updated and revised and brought up to date to 2023, filling in the blanks because E.B. Eliot quit writing in 1862. So he got everything up right up through the beginning of the 19th century. So there it is for you. So you can get all 3 volumes there at Amazon. You just can't get the 4th volume. The new volumes are not on at Lulu Press yet, but I plan on updating those as soon as I get through this. But yeah, it's a much better volume than our previous Quincentennial Reformation edition, which is pretty good, but still some things needed to be redone and added to it. Because I've advanced quite a bit since 2018. Because I didn't realize that the 7th vial had already been poured out. I was still trying to place it. And all those questions started coming to the forefront as I've been going through this volume page by page. Because I've had to read every word. Because I'm also doing this Audible. So I've had to read every word. And I've done a lot of research in doing this. And so far it took me several months just to research the changes I wanted to make for the 3rd volume. And I'm working very hard in the 4th volume too, because it starts with the 7th vial. So that's where I'm at, and that's why I'm speaking so much about it, even now still, as I'm still researching it and trying to, because I want to get it up to date as far as I can with the same historicist method of interpretation. Okay, well, there's our tone. We've come to the end of the broadcast. I want to thank you all for joining me and putting up with me for 2 hours. May the Almighty bless you and keep you. And say a special prayer there for Jerry, Stephen's wife. I'll see you next time.